Revelation chapter 16. The book of Revelation chapter 16. We shall read from verse 17 to 21. Listen very carefully. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning, and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. In the book of Revelations, we find the things that are going to take place. It is the book of prophecy. And of all the prophecies that you find in the Bible, the book of Revelations is like the crown of the prophecies. Because after the prophecies of the book of Revelation, you do not find any more prophecy to be fulfilled. The last thing to be said about the last days of the world, you find in the book of Revelation. There is no more to be said about the last days of the world, the end of the world. And in the book of Isaiah and in Jeremiah, the Lord is asking the people and the false prophets one question. You can read later on. He says, "Is there a prophet among you?" Lord is challenging the false prophets and the false gods worshipped by the people of Israel. They went astray. And the Lord gave a challenge to them. And in the course of the challenge that God gave to the false prophets, astrologers, soothsayers, magicians, and the false heathen gods, Lord said, "Ask them whether any one of them can say from the beginning till the end what is going to happen. Can any one of the false prophets, can any one of your people say in detail what is going to be the end of the world? Can anyone say?" The Lord gave a challenge to them, and not one of them came forward. You will find this in the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah. I tell you, there is no other book in the world where you find so many accurate details of the beginning of the world and the end of this world. And what I read just now from the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation is only a bit of the great, mighty end time drama that is revealed in the Bible. In this book of Revelations, you find the Lord lifting the curtain up and enabling you and me to see the end time events. The end time events. Several times the Lord said, Lord Jesus, in the course of his ministry in the world, you know, whenever he explained something, he that had the ears, let him. Actually, what do you mean by that? That sentence? He that had ears, let him hear. What do you understand by that sentence? Come on, could you tell me? What do you mean by that? What do you understand?
He
what exactly the Lord?
The way I get it?
Yes, brother.
He that has an ear for knowledge, he wants to understand. He wants to really understand. Open the ear and listen.
Yes. Another point that from that you can make out is, if you think that you have got ears, and every human being has ears, is there a human being without ears? There is no fellow. If you are normal, if you are a normal fellow, you must listen to what I am saying. You cannot afford to give a deaf ear to the mighty truth that I am speaking unto you, said Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a normal fellow, unless you are a mad fellow, if you are normal in your senses, you cannot be deaf to the truth that I am speaking, said Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is speaking to us from the book of Revelation. Many places are there. This particular passage I read only to give us an idea, to help you to have an idea of what is called the wrath of God. At the time of Christmas, all the people talk about the love of God shown in Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate with great excitement and joy. But the book of Revelation reminds the people of God not so much of the love, but more about his anger, his wrath. Whoever rejects Christ, whoever rejects his message on the kingdom of God, whoever gives a deaf ear to what Lord Jesus spoke, unto them the wrath of God is reserved. And here in this small passage, you find a bit of the wrath of God poured upon mankind. I have not read the whole book, not even the whole chapter, only a bit of this 16th chapter. Here you find a bit of God's anger, wrath upon mankind. And what do you find? There are two things that you find in this passage. There was a great earthquake. You know, people are afraid of the earthquake. I was going through in the Daily Bread magazine. You know, most of you must have seen Daily Bread. There it is reported, only yesterday I read that. I believe 1 year back, in Minnesota is very close, about 5 or 6 hours drive from here, a scientist there predicted that particular region, that particular city area, would be affected by a mighty shaking of the earth, earthquake. 1 or 2 years back, he predicted that it would take place in that zone, pointed out that zone. And you know what a mighty shaking it brought forth among people. The administration of the city was shaken, people were mightily shaken. Many people started storing provisions, because when the whole city is destroyed, all of a sudden from where can they get? There were a lot of purchases made in the groceries, and people were trying to make their own special arrangements for storing and for their security. People were trying to take away the ornaments and jewelry and put them in some other safe place. And they were trying to think of different methods by which they could save themselves and their property and their precious things. And the comment of the writer in the Daily Bread is very nice, you know. I am very much impressed by that. He says, "The people of Minnesota, a small city in the United States, they were so much afraid of the prediction of an earthquake by a man, a scientist, which did not take place." You know, it did not take place. But how many of the people of Minnesota and of Chicago and of the world are aware of a mighty earthquake that is predicted by God through His Holy Spirit, which is recorded in the book of Revelation? How many people are thinking about that? And that in the other passages you find nearly one-third or two-thirds of the world's population, buildings, industries, all these things would collapse, would be destroyed, would be burnt, and the population would be simply destroyed in the mighty wrath that would be poured upon mankind because of disobedience, because of willful indulgence in sin, in immorality. And you know what kind of earthquake that is mentioned here? Did you hear what I read? "Such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth." That means since the world came into existence, there was never such an earthquake. If you have read about big and great earthquakes, they are nothing before the great earthquake which Lord has planned in the last days of this world upon disobedient children, who refuse to listen to the word of God and to the voice of Lord Jesus Christ. Those who laugh at, those who mock at the truths that are written in the Bible. Unto them the wrath of God is reserved. I want you to please understand this. There are many mockers and scoffers referred to in the second letter of Peter. You know, there is a beautiful letter written by Peter. The second letter of Peter says, "In the last days, there shall be mockers and scoffers." You know the meaning of mockers and scoffers? They just make fun. They laugh at the truth. And they will say, "Where is the promise of His coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, everything is as it was from the beginning. Everything is going on in the normal routine. Nothing is going to happen." Don't be led away by these biblical truths. This is how in the last days men who are called mockers and scoffers will say, who don't care God and the truth, who don't believe in the prophecies, they will make fun. These are the children of devil, mightily influenced by satanic power. They will make fun. And today there are already many cults and satanic groups that have spread all over the world. And even among the so-called Christians today, most of them, they don't believe in this. They are not serious about these truths. And they are not afraid of God and His anger. So let us not be like those mockers and scoffers, but let us believe. Let us believe in the word of God. Before I go further, I would like to tell you, I think I told you earlier also, I don't know, but it is good for you to know how true the word of God is. I would like to give you two examples. In 5th century AD, there was a great Roman emperor by name Diocletian. this Roman emperor, Diocletian, he was so hostile to Christianity, there was a lot of persecution of the Christians then. This man wanted to destroy Christianity and Christians. What's the best way of destroying Christianity? This man said, best way is to destroy the Bible. The sacred book of the Christians we must destroy. And therefore, he gave an order in Rome that all Christian homes must be searched and the Bibles must be collected and they must be piled up in a public place and they must be burned in public. So the order was faithfully implemented and a huge pile of books were collected in Rome. In Rome. Actually, when I was there in Rome, we were there for 2 days, I very much wanted to see whether there was any monument still surviving those times. And a big pile of books was collected. And in the open, the emperor came and in his presence, the whole pile was burned. And when everything was reduced to ashes, on that spot, exactly at that spot, this Diocletian ordered that a pillar be erected on which he wrote these words. On which he wrote these words. What are the words? The Christian Bible is destroyed. Here lies the Bible buried. Here lies the Bible buried. What happened? What happened to that man? He died. He died. And in that very city of Rome, a Pope came into existence with his headquarters. And many people from there, from Rome, went in different directions of Europe and spread the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. The man may make an effort to destroy God's word, but God's word is always powerful. There was another man in the 18th century in France, whose name was Voltaire. Voltaire, in your class book, maybe in social studies you will come across, the man whose writings inspired the French Revolution, the greatest of the philosophers of France of the 18th century. Very powerful speaker he was. But he refused to believe in God. And he made fun of the Bible and Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. He made a declaration in the last days of his life. He left France and he settled down in a beautiful house in Geneva, Switzerland. He went there and he settled down. It was in that house, when he was living in that house, he made a declaration. It was printed everywhere. What is that? He said, Bible is so full of imaginary things, full of lies, that in the next 100 years' time, people would be more sensible and reasonable and they will come to know how false the Bible is and they will open their eyes and they will reject the Bible. They will reject it in such a way. You will not find anybody selling a copy of the Bible. And if anybody wants to know what Bible looks like, they should go to the archives. You know archives? Where ancient things and books are kept. Ancient records. Which are not in vogue, which are not printed. You know, archives. It's a storehouse. It's like a museum of books. So if anybody wants to buy a Bible, wants to read Bible, after 100 years, Voltaire said, in the world, after 100 years, if anybody wants to read Bible, that fellow will have to go to the archives and see, search for the book I believe. And people believed what Voltaire said. because he was the wisest man and the greatest philosopher of France. Most learned man. What is the time that Voltaire gave? Within 100 years it will happen. His prophecy was recorded. Voltaire died exactly after 100 years. What happened, you should know. The big, beautiful house in which Voltaire lived in Geneva, it was bought by the Bible Society of Switzerland. And it is in that house the Bible Society came into existence. Exactly after 100 years. You think it is a historical accident? Don't you think that it is the mighty power of God? God wanted to laugh at these people who are laughing at his word. God will always have the last laugh at man. At man. I'll just read one verse from the book of Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. God will have the last laugh, I said. I am reminded of that sentence. Proverbs chapter 1. Somebody can read for 24 and 25. 26 verse. 26 verse. One of you can read. Chapter 1, Proverbs. Read, Chirian.
I also will let a good calamity, will not the Lord
come. When your dread comes. Come on, Adhisattva. Read.
I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes.
When your
terror
comes. In Lemon, what's it? Same?
I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you.
Overtakes you. When terror, when calamity, when dread. Dread means fear. Mm. When fear and terror and calamity, misfortunes overtake you, O man, I will laugh at you. You think that you can laugh at my word? You think you can make fun of my word, sacred word, my prophecies? God says, I will laugh at you. I want you to remember this. Don't play with the word of God. I tell you, don't play with the word of God. Don't be deaf to the truths of God. I want you to listen and I want you to meditate upon this word of God. So if man is so much afraid of an ordinary prediction by an ordinary man of an earthquake in a small area, how much more you and I should be concerned and worried about the greatest of the earthquakes that is going to take place in the world very soon. Very soon. And the great earthquake is such that such an earthquake had never occurred and it will not occur again. Because that is the last period of the world, the last days of the world. The last days. The reason why I particularly chose that passage is when I was of the age of Cherian or Kiki, in a small boarding hostel, I was reading the New Testament in Telugu. Although I did not understand what I was reading, many things in the Bible, in the New Testament, I didn't understand. My age was just 12 years old, I was. But my superintendent ordered me to read the New Testament. Everybody in the hostel. On every Sunday after lunch, our business was to go through the New Testament in Telugu. Every fellow must be seated somewhere, quietly spend time. I was interested. Why? Because in the first or second chapter of the book of Revelations, it is mentioned, the vision came to John, and the voice came from heaven, and said, spoke to John, the disciple saying, write down the vision, O John, write down what I am going to show. And what is it that I am going to show? The things that shall soon come to pass. So when I came to that sentence, I was excited. Okay, so that means whatever is written in the book of Revelations has not happened, and it is going to take place. Therefore, I began to read. I read. I didn't understand. But one thing that I understood was the passage that I read to you just now. I was a child at that time. All that I could very nicely understand at that time was the wrath of God. The wrath of God. And the wrath of God is described in many other chapters there. But the thing that really shook me was this passage. You know, this passage talks about earthquake, it talks about lightning, it talks about mighty thunder, isn't it? It talks about hailstones. Now, these are the things of which I was terribly afraid as a child. Honestly, I was greatly afraid. Even now, I have such a strange sensation. When it is thundering, I am afraid. When it begins to thunder, I immediately remember what a mighty God we have. Even the explosion of atomic bomb cannot produce the sound and the force that a thunderbolt can produce. I tell you, when God thunders, man has to simply shiver. And peculiar lightnings come when the thundering is going on, you know. Oh, they are so fearful and frightening. I am afraid of that. I used to be terribly afraid of that. And earthquake, I read about the earthquakes in the textbook. And then I was full of fear. And when I came to this passage, then God put in my mind that there is going to be a great earthquake. Since then, I was completely disturbed. And something was telling me in my heart that I should escape that wrath, that punishment of God. I was having deep in my heart, Lord, I must escape that. How can I escape that? You know, from that time onwards, those seeds of a search for truth, a real search for truth began in my heart. Deep in my heart, I was longing for peace, I was longing for perfect peace, and I was having the fear of what was going to happen in the world. And when I grew, and when I finished my education, matriculation, when I entered into the college, when I was in BA first year, when I finished that, because at that time my age was about 20 years, then a man of God came to the small town where we were in the summer vacation, and he was conducting a retreat for just about 15 people there. For 2 days he spoke, and on the last day he spoke on the book of Revelation, and he spoke on the wrath of God, he spoke on the hell, and he spoke about so many things from the book of Revelation. And as I was listening to all that, I was shaken. And the Spirit of God touched me. And I simply knelt down. I cried to God in that small group of 10-15 people. I cannot say what happened to me, but I can tell you honestly, the Spirit of God, what a great Spirit, you know, mighty Spirit, Holy Spirit. I just didn't know. I burst out, I cried, I confessed my sins, the small, whatever sins I remembered at that time, I confessed there. And then I made a covenant with God. I said, Lord, from now onwards, I shall live for you. I cannot imagine the hell. This is only the wrath of God on the earth, but the wrath of God following that is in hell. I said to God, Lord, I can't think of that. Save me from your wrath. That was my prayer. I prayed to God. And that was the turning point in my life. When I made my prayer, the Spirit of God worked in that small group in such a way. My brother next to me was also shaken. And that fellow also burst out in tears and he prayed. Nobody asked him to pray. And the man of God who was preaching, he was praying with tears for us. So there was a great shaking by the Spirit of God. And that was the turning point. And I say, on that day, I was born again in the biblical language. Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, unless you truly believe my word and trust me and commit yourself unto me, you can never, never enter into the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again. I tell you, if you have a deep desire to enter into the kingdom of God as the thief on the cross had, desire is important. Sometime back I was mentioning about the desire, you know. Desire is the first thing, that's the starting thing. If you have a genuine desire, then the Lord will bless you. Lord will bless you. But if you are running after the pleasures of our flesh, immorality, then the desire can never, never work in our hearts. And the Spirit of God can never work in our lives. If you believe in the word of God, if you are an ordinary man, a sane man, you ought to be afraid of the wrath of God and the hell, the eternal fires of the hell. If you are an odd sane man, you ought to be desirous of entering into the heaven, the kingdom of heaven, of God. You cannot distrust what is written in the Bible. The word of God is true. It is wonderful. It is eternal. In Mark chapter 13, verse 13, it is written, Lord Jesus says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words shall not pass away. No man can play with my words. Every word that I have uttered shall be fulfilled, said Lord Jesus Christ. The whole chapter of 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel is a discourse of Lord Jesus on the last days of the world, the end times. Lord Jesus gave a detailed description of the end times in Luke chapter 17 and chapter 21, in Matthew Gospel also in chapter 24. So many details of the end times are given. So many details. And therefore, read the word of God, meditate upon it. Develop a genuine desire to enter into the kingdom of God. This world which you are seeing, which we are all enjoying today, is going to perish. It is going to perish very soon. Do you know? There is one verse written in the Bible, in Psalm 102, maybe verse 20 or 21. Just read that one verse, which talks about this world perishing. In the natural course it will perish. Psalm 102. Just read that. Psalm 102. Just a minute. I'll tell you.
Hear my prayer.
No, no. 25, 26. Children, you listen to that.
In the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands.
Yes.
They will perish.
Which will perish?
His creation.
Which will perish?
The heaven
and the earth will perish. Continue, read. They will perish.
They will perish, but you remain.
You remain.
They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded.
That's all. That's all. They will be discarded. How will they be discarded? Like clothes is different. All of us discard the old clothes, isn't it? Why? Because they are worn away. Old clothes. You discard clothing because they are old, and they are torn, they are worn completely, isn't it? You discard old shoes and slippers. So in the same way, the Bible talks about the earth on which we are living today, it will perish. The natural, scientific, geographical reason Bible is giving us, what is the reason? It will also become old. Earth will become old. Earth will become old. It has become old, I tell you. It has become old. 50 years ago, in our own Andhra Pradesh, in any town or village, wherever people dug for water, people would get water for drinking. Mainly, whether it was salt water or good water. Today, you dig like that, you can't get water. The underground wealth and the resources are getting fast exhausted, depleted. In our degree college, at three places, we went in for a borewell. At each spot, we spent thousands of rupees. The water development experts, scientists came, surveyed the land, and they said, at this spot, you bore the land and you will get water, they said. According to that advice, we bored the land there. We spent money, no water. They went deeper, 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 we couldn't get water. But a big building was constructed. We invested nearly 50 lakhs of rupees on the buildings. Without water, can you run the college? You can't run the college. It is impossible. So we had to bore at three other places, taking the advice of other big scientists in the city. Everywhere it was a failure. God had the last laugh at the knowledge of man. I was thinking, what is wrong with this? With great difficulty, in one corner, we could get a little water. Now with that water, we are struggling and we are just managing to run the college. Even the labs require water all through the day. The toilets require water all through the day. If you cannot have water, you have to close the college. And the Bible talks about in the book of Amos, the days will come when water will be rationed out. Bread will be rationed. It is written there, people of one city went to another city for water. For water. Prophecy, you know. And yet, they are not changed. Yet, they are so much immersed in the pleasures of the world. Even when God begins to punish the world in this way, people do not change. Before that dreadful time arises, you know, God is good to us, God is giving us time to read His Word, to listen to His Word, to meditate upon the truths of the Word revealed to us in the Bible, and to commit ourselves and our lives to God. It is my desire. I was praying this afternoon, yesterday also, very much. My prayer is, and I have been praying like this even in Secunderabad, and I will continue to pray. I pray especially for all of us, our dear relatives and friends here. I say, Lord, let none of them miss the heaven that you have prepared for us. May we all have the fortune of that the thief on the cross. Before he died, he was assured of a place in heaven. That is my prayer, that all of us, none of us should miss the wonderful provision of God. What is real is the kingdom of God, which is real. I do not know whether you have gone through the Gospels. All the four Gospels talk about kingdom of God. And in Gospel of Mark and in Gospel of Luke, Lord Jesus says, let us go to other cities also and preach the kingdom of God, for therefore I am sent. This is the wording in the Bible. Therefore, I am sent. And when he commissioned the disciples and said, go into the villages and preach and come, he said, preach about the gospel of the kingdom of God. We and I think gospel simply means Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross. No, that is not the full gospel. The real gospel is that you should teach and preach and educate the people about the reality, the certainty, the definiteness of the kingdom of God. To enter into the kingdom, Jesus is the way. Lord Jesus said, I am the way. Way to what? To enter into the kingdom. So remember that. Remember that truth and meditate and continue to listen to the word of God and pray. God will bless you. Okay? Let's pray. And for all that you have given unto us in and through thy holy scriptures, the great book, the book of the books, the mighty book that you have given. Thank you for telling us that heaven and earth may pass away, but thy word shall never pass away. Thank you, dear Father, for such word that you have given. Eternal word, all-powerful word. Your word is like fire. Your word is like hammer. No man can play with your word. We thank you and praise you for such powerful and precious word. Help us, dear Father, to believe in thy word. May we be not led away and influenced by satanic forces, but may we trust your word, and may we accept your word, and may we show obedience to the understanding of your word. Grant unto each of us, Lord, the deep desire to escape the eternal fires of hell. Put in our hearts, O Father, the fear of hell. Disturb our hearts, dear Lord. May we not have any rest and peace in our hearts unless we find our peace in thee and in thy Son, our Savior, the Prince of Peace. So, Lord, I pray that you will bless all these dear ones present here. Bless us, Lord, that none of us would perish, but all of us would find a place in thy blessed kingdom, the beautiful kingdom. Have mercy upon each one of us. Bless this portion of the scripture which we meditated just now. And continue to speak to us, Lord, that your name may be exalted in our lives and in our hearts, and that your word itself may be glorified and bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray. Amen.